extremely complex one that already begins in the Parshas Noach, especially in Lech Lecha, but the complexity of his life, the challenges that he faces, all of that escalates considerably in Parshas Vayera. It's very interesting in this Parsha in particular that the Torah uses certain phrases that resonate in other places, intentionally to direct our attention to either the comparison or the contrast, in both cases, to both the comparison and the contrast. And I would argue, as a method of projecting again the difficult challenges that Avraham Avinu faced, and the particular way in which he resolved those challenges. In Ma'aseiv Simon Levonim, we're intended to, I think, pay close attention to the language of Torah Shebaktsav and to the stories that are projected therein, in order to better understand the Avos, so that we can better develop ourselves as the children of the Avos in their image or in their model. So at the very beginning of the Parsha already, we have Vayari love Hashem Be'elonim Amrem Hu Yoshev Pesach Ha'ol Kekom Ayom Vayisa Ina Vayar V'inei Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav. So the phrase Vayisa Ina Vayar, I think, is almost always used when there's some sort of revelation or some moment of great significance, some moment of illumination, at least. Something significant takes place. Vayisa Ina Vayar. That's different than simply seeing. That's something that is seen has made a very distinctive impression. And it's interesting to note that the Vayisa Ina Vayar appears also in the Parsha of the Akeda in Vayera. Right? Vayisa Ina Vayar, Samakom, Meirachot. If I'm quoting it properly, not Yaakov will tell me. Bayom HaShlishi. This is a Perkafes Pasuk Dalet. Vayisa Avram Esenav, Vayar Samakom Merachok. Again, in both cases, it appears that something significant has taken place. A significant challenge, a significant revelation or illumination has taken place in the life of Avram Avinu. But on the surface, one can't imagine two more different circumstances. In the case of Vayisa Inav Vayar, right in the beginning of the Parsha, so we have Avram Avinu, sitting kechom hayom, according to the Chazal, the Rabban Shalom has come to be mevaker cholim, which is a pretty significant event in its own right. And yet, vayisayna vayar, v'nei shlosha anashim, and as the Medrash understands it, he sees what he thinks are three human beings, and then the question poses itself, what about the relationship between Hachnasas Archim and Kabbalas Pnei Ashkina? And it's almost like, a light bulb goes off in Avraham Avinu's mind. Vayisayna Vayar, Vinei Shalsha Anashim. And he knows immediately, intuitively, what the right thing, he doesn't hesitate, he knows what the right thing to do is. Vayar, Vayaratz Nekrasam. Again, you can almost see him moving, with such enthusiasm and alacrity. Mipesach Ohel. Pesach Ohel is where he was sitting. Pesach Ohel has a certain connotation in general, right? Yaakov Avinu, we know, Ish Yoshev Ohalim, right? Where is Sarah? She's Ba'ohel. Ohel meaning the inner sanctum, the sanctuary of their nevuah and of their inward life. But he knows immediately that he's supposed to leave that, and he's supposed to leave the Rabbanu Shalom too, in some sense. And then, of course, you have the play on the word Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, whether it's Chol or Kodesh. Is he telling the Rabbanu Shalom to wait for him, or is he telling the people not to go away? Obviously, very challenging psukim. Again, I would always take the position the Torah uses language could be understood on several different levels at the same time, because it wants to convey that there was a lot going on here, and that if there wasn't ambivalence, at least there was complexity going on here. He's telling the Rabbanu Shalom to wait. He's telling the Orchim not to leave. And both of these are somehow to be viewed as probably as two sides of the same coin, although it's not immediately obvious to other people that they are. So that's one Vayisa and a Vayar. In a sense, choosing Ben Adam, I guess, Lechavero or Chesed, over, or so it would appear, Ben Adam Lamakom. On the other hand, the other Vayisaynar Vayar, in the end of the parsha, is quite the opposite, so it would appear. There too it's Vayaratz, or Vayashkem Avraham Avoker, right, Ahava Mekalkelis Ashura, the sense of enthusiasm, Vayachpos Eschamoro, right, it's Hashkem Avoker, this reason, and he puts the saddle on the donkey himself. He's enthused, he's excited, there's no hesitation, again, there's no ambivalence, no reservation. All of that is perfectly clear, as it was in the first Vayisa Inav Vayar, except that here it's Vayisa Avram Esenav Vayar Samakom Merakot. The purpose is going to be to sacrifice his son. So it appears that here he's making the decision in a direction opposite of that which he made previously. Here he's opting not for the Ben Adam, the reflexive Ben Adam L'Chavero, never mind Ben Adam L'Chavero, it's his son. I'm going to pass that opportunity to speak about the Akedah, to know that the only time that we really hear of the intimate bond between Abraham and Yitzchak is in the context of the Akedah. Vayomer Avi, Vayomer Bini, right, there are extra words in the Torah as if to emphasize that this is, you know, where their bonding experience comes from. He's Aviv and he's Beno, even as he knows that he's about to be sacrificing as an Ola, or so he thinks. But it's not that he turns his heart away from his son at this moment. On the contrary, this is where the greatest paternal feelings, the feelings of affection, of closeness from both, Beni, Avi, Avi, Beni, it's back and forth in the Pesukim. So it's not that Avraham Avinu doesn't feel it, or that he's been able to turn off his feelings, but on the contrary, Vayisaynav Vayar Samako Merachah. It's obvious to him, there's some illumination or revelation, that this is the right thing to do, and he doesn't hesitate in the process either. So that's one example. Then, of course, you have, again, in the Akedah, just mentioned two or three, there are more in the parasha, I think. Vayi achar hadvarim va'ela v'alokim nisas Avraham. So again, achar hadvarim va'ela, so this is a new juncture, a new chapter in Avraham Avinu's life, and it certainly is. The final of the Nisyonos, according to most lists, not all lists, but most lists, certainly the more, or the most dramatic, one would think, the most testing and taxing. Kachlos binchos yitchitcha asher haftas yitzchak, alech lecha al har hamoriya, haleu sham la'ola, alachad he'harim asher amar elecha. So this is Vayihi achar advarim ha'ela. This comes against a certain background, namely the story of Abimelech, and the previous stories of Sodom, and the experience of, again, choosing Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkina or Achnosa Sa'okim, by Hi Achar Advar Ma'il, all that is background, and now Avraham Avinu is given this this task. But what's remarkable is that immediately after this parsha is over, one can't imagine any more, say, dramatic episode in all of Tanakh, perhaps, than Akedas Yitzchak. So then we have another Vayi Achrei Hadvarim Ha'ela. Vayuga Avram Laimar, Hina Yolda Milka Gami Banim L'Nachar Akicha. Again, it's almost as if the Torah wants us to be comparing and contrasting these two junctures in Avraham Avinu's life. Except that the first, as I say, is obviously focused on the Rabbanu Shalom, even though, as I say, it's Avi and Bini and Bini and Avi, but Afal Pichein, his choice is clear, and it's dramatic, and it's clear that it's a transforming moment in his life and in the life of Klal Yisrael. Whereas the second, Vayi Achrei Hadvarim Ha'ela Vayugad L'Avram Le'mar, Hina Yolda Milka Gam Hi Banim L'Achar Achicha, Es Mitzvah B'choroz, Buz Achiv, Es Kemuel Avi Avram, Avi Aram, Es so on, Kesed Es Chazo, Es Pildash, Es Yidla, Es Besuel. All right, we get to the what ultimately is going to be very important for the continuity of Klal Yisrael, for the future of Yitzchak. If the Akedah was critical to Yitzchak's future, which it was, instilling in him the Midah of Gevura and other things, so too is this next Achrei Hadvarim Ha'ela. But it's all about very nitty-gritty, family concerns, family politics, and so on. And again, one couldn't imagine, a bigger contrast, albeit the resonating of a similar phraseology. Also in the context of the Akedah, we have a third Etro. And that is, of course, the Lech Lecha. Right, when the Torah introduces the Tzibui, it says, Vayhi, Vayhi achar hadvarim ha'elev, Elokim yisas Abraham, Vayomer elav Abraham, Vayomer neini, Kachyos bincha sechidcha, Shahavtos Yitzchak, Lech Lecha el Eretz Amoria. And that, of course, echoes the Lech Lecha, Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Me'molartzecha, Me'beis Avicha, El Haaretz Asher Areka. And you know, it's echoed in two senses. Of course, the term Lech Lecha, which is not such a usual term. And secondly, the again, this pattern of, you know, not revealing but, you know, holding out information. El Haaretz Asher Areka. And here too, Lech Lecha L'Eretz Amoriah Halei Sham Alachad HaHarim Asher Amar Elecha. And then, of course, again, this you know, sequence of, you know, Me'artzecha, Me'olartzecha, Me'beis Avicha, you know, making it more difficult each step as it goes forward. And here, as Bincha, as Yechidcha, Asher Ahavta, as Yitzchak. So again, Chazal note that these parshios appear to contain strong parallels. And they even discuss the question whether or not Akedas Yitzchak was more of an Isayon than Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Umi Malaratecha, which is kind of a shocking discussion. Whatever the conclusion is, but the discussion itself is very very fascinating. Because one would have thought that the Akedah is, again, far more transforming, far more dramatic, far more of a real test than Lech Lecha. Apparently, A, the difficulty in turning one's back on one's past is almost as difficult as abandoning one's future. That seems to be one point. Or the Avraham Avinu exhibits with respect to his enthusiasm to enter into Eretz Yisrael is almost as important as the enthusiasm that he evinces in responding to this ultimate command of the Akedah. But at the same time, with all of the parallels, again, clearly there's also a contrast. Precisely the contrast that I just mentioned. In the case of Lech Lecha, essentially, while Avraham is being asked to abandon his past or to, you know, depart from his past, to break ties, but essentially, the purpose of the breaking of ties is Va'escha L'Goy Gadol. It's precisely to move on to a brighter and more meaningful future. So, with all the initial difficulties that turning one's back on one's past implies, the fact is that this promise of a glorious future and of continuity is certainly a sufficient promise. That's the focus of the Lech Lecha El Haaretz Asher Areka. But the Lech Lecha El Har HaMoriah El HaMakom Asher Amar Elecha is, you know, it's Bincha As Yechidcha Asher Ahavta As Yitzchak. It's about essentially turning one back on the same future of the previous Lech Lecha. So in one sense they're parallel, in another sense they're absolute opposites. In one case, moving towards a certain goal and a certain objective and even destiny. In the other case, being told almost against all, you know, rationality, as Chazal themselves put it, that that he should turn his back on the destiny that already had been secured for him, had been outlined for him several times previously. And the question is why? Why, especially in this parsha of the Akedah, do we have these three, and I said there might be more, echoes of different parshias? The truth is, if you look at in a broader way at the larger parsha, so we have other things as well. Again, staying within the Akedah, of course, the other echo is the term Yiras Elokim, which I think is the key to it all. Ati Adati, Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, V'lo chasachta es bincha es yechidecha. So this phrase Yirei Elokim Ata appears previously again in this in the same parsha, in the context of the Avimelech story. where we're told in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Aleph, or Pasuk Yud, and so Yom Rabbi Melech Avram, Mara Isak Yasisa Samarazan, by Yom Avraham, Ki Amarti, Rak Ein Yiras Elokim, B'makam Hazeh, B'haraguni Al Dvar Ishti. So that's a very unusual phrase. Really, the first time it appears is here in Vayera. Rak Ein Yiras Elokim, B'makam Hazeh. And that should be contrasted, but again, echoes the Ati Adati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, V'lo Chasachta Zbincha Es Yechidecha. The story of Abimelech echoes something else. Abimelech speaks to the Rabban Shalom, and he says, how could you consider punishing me? After all, Hagoy Gam Sadiq. Balibelech lo karab elah, vayomar hagoy gam tzadik ta'arog. This is Perek Chav Pasuk Dalet. And of course that echoes the conversation that Avraham Avinu has with Ribbono Shel Olam, right, where he defends Sodom, or appears to be defending Sodom, and says, ha'av tispe tzadik im rasha. Right, Chalil Ulcham Yasos Kadavar Zel Hamis Tzadik Im Rasha V'Haya Ketzadik Karasha. Chalil Ulcham Shofet Kal Haaretz Layasa Mishpat. So, of course, you know, when you hear the words of Abimelech, that sound an awful lot like the words of Avram, so it's a little disturbing. The whole discussion between Avraham Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu about Sodom itself is problematic. Right? Does any human being have a right really to challenge the Ribbono Shel Olam? Isn't there a concept of Tzidu Kadim? Isn't it to reflect a certain measure of arrogance? Al Tavahel Al Picha? Right? That's the way many of the Mefarshim interpret that that phrase in Koheles. No, don't question the Ribbono Shel Olam. Of course, we have halachos that have to do with Tzidu Kadim. But how is Avraham Avinu really allowed to challenge Kadosh Baruch Hu? Moshe Rabbeinu does it now and then as well. But especially when you hear the words coming from Avi, you know, these self-righteous words of Abimelech, so it becomes even more problematic. Except, of course, there are important differences. But the question is whether those important differences make things better or worse. In the case of Abimelech, it's self-interested. Basically, he wants to secure his own future. He's arguing that he should not be destroyed, and he's very self-righteously proclaiming himself to be a tzaddik, and arguing that, you know, that justice has to be done. In the case of Avraham Avinu, Avraham isn't pleading for himself, he's pleading for others. How is he pleading for others? But he's pleading for people whose lifestyle are the antithesis of his own. So not only is there no self-interest, on the contrary, Avraham Avinu is really operating in opposition to his own self-interest. Except that that raises another question, and that is, if, you know, the people of Sodom are ra'im v'chata'im, ma'od, so and they deserve the fate that that they receive, so what is the significance of Avraham Avinu challenging the Ribbono Shel Olam? So it's better and it's worse. On the one hand, clearly no element of interest. There's only disinterest here, and on the contrary, opposite interest. But at the same time, what is the basis for this? What is the basis for this kind of defense? Then, of course, the other issue is that when we compare the parsha of Hachnasas Archim of Avraham Avinu, beginning of Vayera, with that of Lot, so again we encounter this phenomenon again. On the one hand, there appears to be very strong parallels. Right? Hu yoshev pesachol kachoy kolayom. In the case of Lot, he's yoshev b'shar Sodom. The question is, are these more effective as parallels or as points of contrast. Vayavu shnei hamalachim sedoma ba'erev belot yoshev b'shar sedom vayar lot vayar tzikor vayakam l'korsam. Except there's also, with the parallels, let us say, subtle and critical differences. Avraham Avinu, it's Vayisa Eina Vayar, here it's only Vayar. We suggested Vayisa Eina Vayar is important. It's Vayar Vayarat, I can almost experience the enthusiasm just by reading about it. Whereas in the case of Lot, it's Vayar Vayakam. The difference between Adonai with a kamatz and Adonai with a patach, Al na tavar me'al abdecha, as opposed to Sur na l'beis abdechem, v'linu v'rachatzu raglechem, v'yishkamtem v'halachtem l'darchachem. In other words, Avraham Avinu really wants them to stay. Lot, you know, is already, you know, told them pretty much that they have to leave, you know, in the morning, if we read it, read the whole pasuk. It is surna, but it's the ishkamt and balach and the dark. It's not telling you to go to the 8 o'clock minyan. So, again, it's almost like, you know, vayashkem Avram Baboker. I should have added that just as it's vayashkem Avram Baboker, there was also vayashkem for Avimelech. Avimelech was also vayashkem. So again, this whole parsha is filled with allusions, which, you know, can't help but draw our attention to comparisons and to contrasts between Avraham Avinu and all sorts of other figures, Melech, Lot, and so on. Again, the Chazal note that for Avraham Avinu, first it was Yukach Namat Mayim Barachatzura Galechem, and then Yishanu Tachas Ha'etz, because he wasn't sure if they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. For Lot, first he invites them in. And then he tells them, "Linu v'rachatzu raglechem." In other words, it's not a precondition for him that they remove their Avodah Zarah boots, if that's really what it is. For Avraham Avinu, it's va'ekcha paslechem v'sad libchem achar tavoru, which Chazal says a reference to Torah and mitzvos and all sorts of other things. But there's a feast, and it's vayaratz, and he tells Sarah, and there's all sorts of excitement. Alkein avartem al abdechem v'yimahir. Mahari, all these Alabakar Ratz Avram, and of course with Lot, it's almost pro forma, albeit a kind of vigorous pro forma, which is why they say Lo ki Barchov Nalin. They're uncomfortable with this particular brand of Achnas Sarka. I think it's particularly telling by Yiftzar Bam Ma'od. We read with respect to Lot, and then later on when the Anshei Ha'ir surround the house. So we're also told, "Vayiftzuru ba'ish belot ma'od, vayikshu lishbar hadalas." The same phrase, "Vayiftzar," which Unkelus interprets as takif, is used. Lot was to the malachim what the anshei ha'ir were to Lot. Okay. Although again, for very different purposes. But you don't find that phrase with regard to Avraham Avinu. He implored the Malachim Anashim to stay, but again, in a very different way, through his enthusiasm and so on and so forth. And of course, the question of whether they Anashim or Malachim, and how they're perceived, the kamots and the kamots and the patach, many other differences that emerge as well. The fact that Lot is willing to give up his two daughters. And not only does he say he's willing to give them up, he's almost, recommending, what should be done or what could be done. Again, a kind of a grotesque haknasas arachim. Again, the Torah's intention is clear, to put these two episodes, one in light of the other, through that juxtaposition, to emphasize what it is that Lot took from Avram, and yet to show how completely distorted it was by virtue of the fact that it was disconnected from the rest of the commitment of Avram. Again, he was sitting the Pesach Ohel when it all started, and he was sitting the Shar Sodom, and therefore even what seemed to be common between them, Hachnas Arachim, was subtly, but in the end of the day, not so subtly, transformed from a from an act which justifies even leaving, or which is really consistent with Kabbalah's Pnei Hashkina, as opposed to something which is consistent, it's the stone version of Achnasas Arachim. And even when it angers the Anshei Stone, it's still the stone version of Achnasas Arachim, with all that that implies in terms of its distortion and being grotesque, and so on and so forth. And of course this is borne out by what happens to Lot afterwards, even in the context of being saved because of Abram. He can't return to Abram, because he knows that he can't survive in that kind of spiritual scrutiny. He has to go to Tzoar, or El Hahar, Hahara, Nasu, and then of course the story with the Benos Lot that follows. So basically, the Torah of this week's Parsha is all about comparison and contrast, and subtle differences, but critical differences, that establish two basic principles. One is that you can have very similar language or behavior, but you take it from its context, or you take away the consistency, and you have a completely different experience. That's true for Avimelech and Avram, that's true for Lot and Avram, in every way. That's one message. And the second message is that Avram Avinu's apparently contradictory decisions are really not contradictory at all. In all cases, it's Vayisa and Avayar. In all cases, it's Lech Lecha. In all cases, it's Vayashkem Avram Avoker. In all cases, it's Vayhi Acharei or Achar Hadvar Ma'ela. The consistency in Avram Avinu's life, just as the inconsistency between Abraham and the others, is what stands out in the juxtaposition for them. What emerges in the analysis of Avraham Avinu is exactly the opposite. What appears to be different strategies, different decisions, but through the use of the terminology in the Torah, what the Torah itself establishes to be a unified, single, consistent perspective. And what is that single perspective? It's exactly what we're told at the very end of the Akedah. Ate yadati ki yirei Elokim ata, ulochasachta zbincha sechidecha. Whether it's the story of Avimelech, or the decision of Kabbalah's, of Haknasas Arachim in the face of Kabbalah's Pnei Hashkina, whether it's one Lech Lecha or the other, whether it's Vayhi Achar or Vayhi Acharei Hadvar Ma'ela, in the case of Avram Avinu, everything that is driving him is ki yirei Elokim ata. And that's exactly why he takes the drastic measures and his perspective on Avimelech. Rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh v'horaguni al dvar ishti. And as Chazal saying, Rashi quotes, in a place where you come and the first thing they ask you is not, can I serve you, some bread and some water, but is she your wife or is she your sister? That's makom she'ein yiras Elokim. The idea of Yiras Elokim then emerges as a kind of a mediating principle, or regulating principle. It's what dictates whether or not complex decisions are consistent or not. It's what dictates even whether or not apparent inconsistencies aren't in fact consistent. If Yiras Elokim drives the decision, then one Lech Lecha can be one direction and the other in the other. Then Vayhi Achar Dvar Ma'ela can apply both to the Akedah and to Utz and Buz and so on and so forth. Then Vayisa Eino Vayar rather can apply in one case to a decision of Haknasas Arachim, and in the other case, despite Bini, Avi and Bini, they can point in the direction of Akedah Yitzchak. All of that depends whether Yiras Elokim is driving the decision or not. Ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata, sofa hochiach al tchilasa. And in a sense, that's exactly what we're told in the very end of Koheles, of course. Sof davar kol nishma, Elokim yira, es mitzvosav shimar, ki zeh kol ha'adam. So the whole Koheles is really all about the futility of life, trying to find meaning in the complexity of life, right? Koheles is a catalog of different ideologies and philosophies, or approaches to life in some cases. hedonistic and ascetic and disciplined and laissez-faire and Ace Lukos and Ace Lispode and Ace is also Lintoa. Kohelis is about trying to balance all of the different possible approaches to life, and it's also about trying to integrate all the different experiences that one can't escape if one goes into life. And the Sof Davar of Kohelis, Kishmo Kenhu, Sof Davar Kol Nishma is Elokim Yira Es Mitzvasav Shemar Kizeh Kol Ha'adam. Basically, Rashi interprets the whole Sefer from the very beginning to be about the superiority of a life of Torah and mitzvahs. From the very beginning, Havel Havalim is only Tachas HaShamesh. It's about the physical world. But the world of the spirit, the world of Torah, that's the contrast throughout, with some rare exceptions in some of the psukim, where even anomalies or difficulties, things that are incomprehensible in Torah itself, are raised. But by and large, Rashi in his Perush on Koheles establishes that from the very outset, what we're being told is that Torah way of life is meaningful and everything else is bereft of Torah, without its perspective, is unacceptable. But the simple reading of Koheles, the Pshat, one would say, that doesn't in any way preclude Rashi and Medrash, but it's a question why it's written this way. Is of course to question everything, to question chachma, to question holelus, to question the pursuit of wealth and pleasure, to question the pursuit of asceticism, and only in the very end to provide the single answer or the vehicle or the regulating principle that allows us to go back and look at the whole thing from a different perspective. And that's Sof Davar Kol Nishma Es Elokim Yira Es Mitzvasav Shemar Kizeh Kol Ha'adam, which means that to the end of the day, none of these things stand on their own. But Hakol Nishma, all of them have some validity if they're done with the proper perspective and with the proper balance. That's Hakol Nishma. And what is that? Es Elokim Yira, Es Mitzvasav Shemar, Kizeh Kol Ha'adam. Not Kol Adam, but Kol Ha'adam. The totality of man, his purpose, his destiny, is precisely to find the regulating principle so that he can partake of and sanctify the totality of creation. And that is done through Es Mitzvasav Shemar and Es Elokim Yira. The antithesis of Es Elokim Yira is the perspective of Abimelech, and it's the perspective essentially of Amalek. What we read in the end of Parshas Kisetze, which is Asher Korcha Baderech, right, the pasuk at the end of Kisaytze. Zohar says, "Sharasu l'chal amalei, baderech betzeis kamim Yisrael, asher karka baderech, vayizanei b'chakal nechshonim acharecha, v'ata ayev v'yageya, v'lo yarei Elokim." Question of Chazal is, who is that referring to? Lo Yarei Elokim is referring to Amalek, or Lo Yarei Elokim is referring to Klal Yisrael and what made them vulnerable at that particular point in time. Either way, Lo Yarei Elokim is the symbol either for the evil of Amalek, what produces the evil of Amalek, or what makes the evil of Amalek, what makes Klal Yisrael vulnerable to the evil of Amalek. Velo Yarei Elokim. In Eov, when Eov is tested, in a different way than Avraham was tested, but one could say, never was there a test since Avraham Avinu as trying as the test of Eov. So again, it's just very fascinating that this term, Yirei Elokim, Ishaya Be'eretz Utz, Eov Shemo, V'hayaha Ishahu, Tam V'yashar, V'yirei, here it's V'yirei Elokim, V'sar Meira. And then again, it's repeated, V'hi Hayom, V'yavo B'nei Elokim, Yitzhak Seid Al Hashem. ויבוא גם השטן בצורכם, ויאמר השם על שטן מעין תבוא, והגמישות בארץ מסלך בו, ויאמר השם על השטן, השמת לבך על עבדי איוב, כי אין כמוהו בארץ איש תם וישר, here it's not יראי, it's יראי, אלוקים ושר מרע. ויאמר השטן אס השם, ויאמר, החינם יראי איוב אלוקים? הלא הצחת בעדו, בעד ביסו, בעד כל השלו, מעשה ידו ברחת, מקנה וקרץ בארץ, אולם שלחנה ידך, וגע בכל השלו, ולא פניך יברכך. And then Rebbe Shalom answers, הנה כל אשר בידך, רק אליו, אל תשלח ידך, and so on. So in a sense, again, the ultimate test of character, to see whether or not you know, one's behavior is, is a result of conditions that are conducive, or it's really toch tocho. It really is reflects the religious personality in an ultimate sense. That too revolves around this test of yiras Elokim. What does it say? Chazal say akol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. So the role of yiras Elokim. The role of Yiras Elokim is a transcendent one. So what really is Yiras Elokim? I'm going to stop here because I have to get back to the Seventh Shabbos. But let me just say one thing and then maybe I'll expand a little about it next week. And then we'll continue with that or with something else. I think there's a difference between the discussions about Avoda Me'ava Umeyira and the concept of being a Yirei Elokim. Avoda Me'ava Me'ira refers to what one's attitude should be at the time of performing particular mitzvahs. And here there are different views in the psukim, right? Yivduos Hashem B'Yira, Yivduos Hashem B'Simcha, probably two sides of the same coin in one respect, but different, superficially at least, different perspectives. Different psukim, I say, emphasize different things. And again, famous Ramban that we've spoken of in the past. Ase dochalos ase, because Abba is gedola menayira, whatever that means. In terms of actual performance of mitzvos, there's a difference between avoda me'abba and avoda me'ira. The way the Ramban describes yira and Abba in Perek Beis, Hukas Yisodei Torah, Halacha Aleph and Beis, there's a difference between Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. But the way the Rambam formulates the difference in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mitzvah Gimel and Mitzvah Dalet, there's a difference between them. But the fact is that being a Yirei Elokim is something that transcends Avoda Me'ira, which is sometimes contrasted with Avoda Me'ava. And the Gemara in Sota actually says that both Avram Avinu and Eov were Yirei Elokim mitoch ahava. Again, seeing no contradiction or not even different perspective in this. Mar says, Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. Says, Rav Meir Omer, Nemar Yirei Elokim B'Iyov, and Nemar Yirei Elokim B'Avraham. Ma Yirei Elokim Ha'amur B'Avraham Me'ahava, Af Yirei Elokim Ha'amur B'Iyov Me'ahava. B'Avraham Gufei Minolam, B'Ksiv Zera Avraham Ohavi. Then the Gemara says, Ma Ika Bein Osa Me'ahava La'Osa Me'ira. Okay. That I think is more on the lines of the question of Avoda Me'ahava and Avoda Me'ira, different strategies of, or different foundations for asiyas mitzvahs. But the point is that being a Yirei Elokim is something that is critical whether or not one is going to be Oved Me'ava or Oved Me'ira. It seems that the concept of being a Yirei Elokim is the concept of having that integrated perspective that no matter what challenges one faces, no matter what difficult decisions one encounters, that one does so based on a broad perspective or commitment of Yiras Elokim. Based on a certain sense, which becomes an inner sense after one cultivates it, of having a certain destiny and a certain purpose in life. A destiny and a purpose that outweighs self-interest and that outweighs that difficult enemy, the ego. In the case of Avimelech, it expresses itself in the order and the tone that is used to ask, otherwise might sound like a very innocent or just inquisitive query. You know, is she your wife? Is she your sister? But Rak Ein Yiras Elokim B'mokom Hazeh characterizes the place, the attitude. The perspective is not one of Yiras Elokim. It's reflected in oh ever subtle such ways as the order of questioning. In the case of Avraham Avinu, of course, it's reflected Ati Adati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. It justifies what otherwise would have been all the contradictory or seemingly inconsistent decisions that he made. The point is that once you say Ate Adati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata, so then we understand that there's no difference between the two Lech Lechas, and there's no difference between the two Vayisa Einav Vayars, and there's no difference between the Vayhi Achrei Hadvarim Ha'ela and Vayhi Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela. And for that matter, it wasn't really a decision to abandon the Ribbono Shel'olam in order to accomplish Hachnasas Archim. It was an understanding that Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina demands not only Lekei HaShemayim but also Lekei HaAretz. It demands Hachnasas Archim. The perspective of Yirei Elokim is the perspective of seeing one's destiny and one's purpose in such a way that he's able to transcend the obvious. And when you transcend the obvious, then even things sometimes that look contradictory turn out to be consistent. It's very interesting, with this I'll close, that again, Amalek is are the ones who, or vulnerability to Amalek, is where we have the perspective below Yarei Elohim. So it's interesting that with regard to Amalek, we say Asher Karcha Baderach. And it's interesting that with Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, the Mitzvah Gimel, when he counts the Mitzvah of Yiras Elokim, so he says the following. Hishatzivanu lahamin yiraso yisala, ulihifached bimenu, v'lonia kekofrim haholchim bekeri, avonira bias ancho bechal eitz. Uhu amar yisala was Hashem alokecha tira. So it's just fascinating, two things. Number one, in this girsa at least, shatzivanu lahamin yiraso. Should have just been shatzivanu lira es Hashem. What do you mean lahamin yiraso? Secondly, as some of the Farshim already know, it's interesting that the Rambam in Sodei Torah speaks about yira, yiras Hashem, not in terms of yiras onesh, but in what we call yiras aromimus. Right? So the Rambam says, how is one supposed to accomplish, to cultivate the midah of yira? Akela nichbad v'hanora hazeh mitzvah la'avo l'yira mimenu. Number one, it's interesting that the Rambam, instead of putting them separately, initially put them together. As if to say, again, these are two sides of the same coin. Again, together, instead of, he's about to explain each one separately. He could have just as easily said there's a mitzvah of Avos Hashem, and how do you do it? And then there's a mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, and how do you do that? But it's both in Halacha Aleph and in Halacha Beis, the Rambam groups them together. Part of being a Yirei Elokim is to be aware of the fact that the seeming opposites of Ava and Yira are really not opposites at all. B'shashi is born in Adam b'masa v'bruav hamiflaim, hagdolim v'yira mehem chachmaso, Sheila Erech Belokates, Miyadu Oheg, Umishabeach, Umafair Mitabet, Tava Gdola, Leda Hashem Agadol, Kamashanemar David, Tzama Nafshi Lalokim Lakalchai. Ukisha Mechashe, Vidvarma Elu Atzman, Miyad Tu Nirta Lachora, Vyore Vyifchad, Vyodea Shubiria Ptano Shvela Afela, Ome Vidaskala, Mutalafnei Tmim Deos. Kamosha Amar David, Ki Arecha Shamecha, and so on, Ma Enosh Kisis Karenu. And that's what the Rambam says, on the feet of Arma Elu, Ani Mevar Kolim Yolmi Maisa Ribbono Olamim, Kedishu Pesach, Lenevin, Leahov Es Hashem. Kamosha Mechachamim, Inan Abba, Shemitoch Kach, Atamakas, Mish Amar Vahya Ola. So number one, the Rambam puts them all together, but of course the Rambam's description of Yira here is Yira Saromus, being in awe, fear in the sense of awe. But in Min and Mitzvos, the Rambam has a one back to back. Shetzivanu La'avo Yisaleh, and then the Rambam has Hishitzivanu Lahamin Yiraso. So Lahamin is his problem. Moreover, Lifached Mimenu V'Lanir Kekofrim Hochem Bekeri V'Lanira Bias Ansho B'Chaleis. So why here is the focus on the Onesh and not on the Yiras Haromimus? So I think the answer is that the Rambam here is contrasting. The point is not that the Rambam is telling you that you should be Yare Mina Onesh. Ram is telling you that you should be ma'amin, and your amuna should reflect itself in a way that you are mimela yare mina onesh. And in a sense, if that's true, that's consistent with yiras aromamos. The point is that the Rambam is contrasting the ideology of Klal Yisrael with the ideology of Amalek. And that's what he means when he says, v'lonia kikofrim ha'hochim bekeri. And that's the same phrase that the Rambam uses in the beginning of the Tanis, one of my favorite Rambams. The Rambam says that there's a chiyuv of tzaaka on the day of Tanis, and the Rambam says, we have the Tanis here? That the ideology of nikro nikreis, that this happened coincidentally and has nothing to do with me, the Rambam says that is the ideology of akzariot, of viciousness or cruelty. On the contrary, one should always put himself as being responsible for the calamities that take place to himself, to Klal Yisrael. As I've noted in the past, I don't think that the Rambam means by this that you know for sure that it's so. I don't think the Rambam means by this that you trivialize what happens by linking it up with a particular or single aveira. I think it's the opposite. The Rambam talking here about accepting halachic responsibility, or projecting halachic responsibility, even if you're not responsible, because that's still a means to making you. That's midarkei atshuva, as he quotes. I think it's an integrated. Have to look at atshuva. But one of the things you have to look at is the contrast. Well, who is this philosophy of nikro nikresi, and why is it called akzariot? Why is it just an incorrect ideology? But the answer is it's the ideology of asher karcha baderech of Amalek. Amalek is the epitome of Achzarius. The point is that you can only have an Amalek if you have a philosophy of Nikro Nikres. If you believe that there's really no Hashkacha and destiny. The man makes his own destiny, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam either doesn't exist or is largely uninvolved and uninterested. So then you can be, theoretically, the extreme of an Amalek. If it's Hashem Karcha Baderech, then you can take advantage of the weak. That is the ideology of Lo Yarei Elokim. The ideology of Yiras Elokim is the ideology of taking responsibility and assuming that there is Hashgacha and placing the blame on oneself. Not in order to provoke corrosive guilt, but in order to effect constructive change. So I think if you're putting these Rambams together, the Rambam says, Itzatzivanu Lahamin Yiraso. We should always act as if we're afraid of Onesh. Doesn't mean Yiras Elokim is being afraid of Onesh. That's such a trivialization of the concept. Right? It's Yiras Romamus. But the point is, if you really have Yiras Romamus and you see your destiny as being for the sake of achieving the Ribbono Shel Olam's Nachas Ruach Lefanav, that's what Yiras HaRomamos is really all about. So the mechanism of doing that is to take full responsibility, to be constantly in a state of Yira Mina Onesh. The Rambam's Lahamdin B'Yiras HaOnesh, which is a contrast to the philosophy of Nikro Nikres, which in Uchus Taimus he also characterizes Achzariut, and which I suspect is associated with Amalek, of Lo Yarei Elokim. If you take the whole picture of the Rambam, then what emerges is that Yiras Elokim is a philosophy. It's a philosophy of seeing yourself as a people or as an individual with a clear objective, purpose, and a destiny. And then the difficult, challenging issues that come your way can all be dealt with in a manner which is complex, but not contradictory. Hachnasas Orachim can be the other side of and the ultimate fulfillment of Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina. All that can happen if Ati Adati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. Then the complex decisions that Avraham Avinu make stand in even greater contrast to Lot and to Abimelech, and the seeming contradictions in his life instead become consistent as the Psukim implies. Okay, stop here. Maybe we'll speak a little more about this or something else next week. Give me 1 minute and then we'll...